out of town during this particular event. You need to change that event. But you know what? We'll just keep doing what we do, and you go and have your time, and when you get back, we'll be thankful that you're back. Amen. Amen. Well, as we move forward, you have a bulletin that you were able to receive when you came in. If you didn't pick one up, pick one up on the way out. It has a few reminders in there of things that are coming up. This Wednesday night, I know we had a few weeks when we weren't meeting for our discipleship class on Wednesday night, and so maybe some of us just kind of fell into a pattern of, okay, we're back on schedule. Last Wednesday we met, we had a good group that were there, and I think the Lord spoke to us. I know He spoke to me. If nobody else had a good time, I did. But we had our discipleship class last Wednesday. We'll be having it again this Wednesday. So if you've been out of the habit of coming over the past few weeks, okay, it's time to kick back in and re-engage in that. Maybe some of you say, oh man, they're already several weeks in, I missed the beginning. No, come on. It's okay. You don't have to have been here for week one to enjoy week two, or week two to enjoy week three. So we want to encourage you and invite you to come on out Wednesday night, 6:30. We'll be meeting for discipleship. We usually finish 8:15, somewhere around there. I will say this, grab a bite to eat before you come, or plan to eat late, one or the other. Because we know we're not serving Wednesday night, a dinner or anything like that. But we would encourage you just to come on out, be a part of that. Wednesday night, our Maturity Matters discipleship class. How many of you know what next Sunday is? Ah, thank you. It's first Sunday of the month. That means it's BGMC Sunday. Our kids have been doing an awesome job over the past several years, and this year is no exception. And listen, we understand they don't have any money unless you give it to them. We get that. We get that. But they've been faithful to collect those coins and those monies that you give. And some of you, you're not even kids, but I see you come up here and you dump your buddy barrels or your boxes, and you're putting that silent money in the boxes or in the buddy barrel bucket. So next Sunday, BGMC, Boys and Girls Missionary Challenge, it is our children's mission outreach. So thank you for your faithfulness. They're already going to meet their goal for this year, but that doesn't mean you slack off. No, keep giving. So we're thankful for BGMC. There's some other stuff going on. Food bank tomorrow, right? No? Oh, that's right. Yeah, because we did have a truck come in. That's right. It picks back up first Monday in August. Yeah, okay, so no food bank tomorrow. I'm glad I said that. No food bank tomorrow, but if you're interested, I keep hearing about this food bank. If you're interested, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Yeah, there. Where's our food bank, folks? Yeah. Okay, if you're interested in working in the food bank, these folks can give you some more information. It is truly one of the most rewarding things you could ever do, to be a part of that ministry. So I'd encourage you to talk to these guys if you want to be a part of the food bank. I'm still gathering some reports from our ministry leaders' powwow brainstorming session we had a few weeks ago. I got another report in this week. Well done, thank you, sir. It was really, really well done. So I'm kind of compiling all of that different information into kind of a summary report, just so we make sure we're all on the same page. So for those that haven't had an opportunity to submit that yet, if you will, it doesn't have to be anything formal, just a few bullet points and something I can put into a combined report. I'd appreciate that. All kinds of stuff going on. Read the bulletin, talk to me, we'll make sure we get you on track. Everybody okay? Okay. All right, let's not make any assumptions. Let's not just barrel forward until we know we're all right. All right, you got a Bible, go ahead and turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. Wow. All right then, Exodus chapter 20. I'm sure all my pages are in order now. Oh, that's a mess. Exodus chapter 20. All right, a couple of weeks ago, I kind of gave an introduction to a series of messages that we're in right now. And the introduction went something like this. human beings are powerless and helpless on our own to initiate and engage in a relationship with a holy God. The Bible even says there's none of us that even seek after Him. There's none of us that even desire to do good and seek after God. And even if we had the desire, the Scripture also lets us know we are corrupt to the core. Even if we had the desire, because we are not holy, we're powerless to engage and initiate a relationship with a holy God. So that's the dilemma on one hand. On the other hand, we have a God who desires. He makes it clear throughout the Scriptures. We have a God who desires relationship with us. So you have a God who wants relationship and a people who can't engage in relationship. And the only way to overcome that impasse is if God Himself takes the initiative. And so we see it throughout Scripture, whether it is the coming of God to Adam and Eve, the moment they sinned, He came to them. Or whether it's God approaching Moses as he's wandering aimlessly, feeling guilty for having committed murder. I mean, hopefully there's no one that's in that kind of desperate situation today. But even then, God took the initiative and met with Moses. It took the form of a burning bush, but it was the initiative of God. And we see that the ultimate initiative that God took, the ultimate outreach that God made to mankind so that relationship could be possible was through Jesus Christ Himself. While we were yet sinners, the Bible says, Christ died for us. And so we thank God. We recognized that 2 weeks ago, that there's a God who wants relationship with us so desperately that throughout history and even today, He takes the initiative to make that relationship possible. And one of the concluding thoughts that we had was this. One of the ways that we can see historically and in the Scripture, one of the ways that God took that initiative is by giving what we commonly call the Ten Commandments. Now, on the surface, that seems like a strange thing to say or to think about, because I think that perhaps many of us have been, we've been indoctrinated, we've been taught to think throughout our lives, especially those of us that were raised in church. Many of us have been taught to think of these Ten Commandments as a list of things that you cannot do and things that you must do, a list of do's and don'ts, if you will. And certainly there is that component to the Ten Commandments. But understanding that God is not a killjoy. God's not up in heaven saying, "Well, you see those, I'm just going to see what can I do. What can I say? What can I demand from them that would make their lives just as utterly joyless as possible? What can I do that would just steal every bit of happiness and joy from their lives?" That's not the way He is, because remember, He's a God who's saying, "Man, guys, I want relationship with you desperately." But you have to understand, relationship with God is not like relationship with each other. Because, see, you and I, we can enter into a friendship, a relationship, but my faults and your faults, they just kind of all blend together in a fault-filled humanity. But when we're interested in a relationship with God, when we talk about humanity, a sin-filled, problem-filled, deficit-filled humanity, trying to enter into a relationship with God Himself, boy, that's a chasm that can't be breached. And so if we're going to enter into a relationship with God, if we're going to enjoy a relationship with God like He wants, and like He's given us a desire for that same kind of relationship, if that's going to happen, it has to be on His terms and not on our terms. Because He's holy and we're not. Because He's set apart and we're common. Because He's amazing and we're not so amazing. Because He's infinite and we are finite. You get it? His ways are above our ways. They are beyond finding out. And somehow we've got to find a way. We've got to have some guidelines. If God wants this relationship with us so desperately, he's going to take the initiative to say, all right, guys, here are the terms. Here are the parameters. And if you go really outside of these parameters, that's dangerous territory. You see that throughout Scripture as well. Folks who would just try to approach God and approach his presence on their own and in their own initiative and with their own rules and with their own way of approaching things. And so the Ark of God is unstable on a cart, and which it wasn't supposed to be on a cart to begin with. And so the Ark of God was unstable and just reaching out callously and carelessly with a hand to stable and stabilize the presence of God. You don't enter relationship with God on your own terms. You have to do it his way. And so here we see in these Ten Commandments, in this list of do's and don'ts, we see the heart of compassion of a God who says, look, I want this relationship with you so desperately, I'm going to provide these principles for you to understand. This is how relationship with me manifests itself. And so when we look at these Ten Commandments, we actually started with the first one last week. When we look at these, we're understanding it's not a list of do's and don'ts from a God who wants to steal our joy. Instead, it is a God saying, this is the way you live in relationship with me. And in doing so, we find the joy that some think he's trying to steal. And so last week, we looked at the first commandment or the first principle. And we determined that the first principle for living in relationship with God is the reminder and the clear understanding, you shall have no other gods besides me. Let's just clear that right to start with. The word that we used is priority. It's the principle of priority. Because you see, if we can't nail that one down in the beginning, if we allow room for other gods and other priorities in our life, the rest of them are not going to make sense. The rest of them are easily dismissed and justified unless we can nail this one down. Prioritize. And here's what we found. We found that when we prioritize God, he takes care of us. And so today I want us to look at the second principle, the second commandment. Exodus chapter 20. We want to read the first six verses. Our focus today is going to be on verses 4, 5, and 6. But here we are. Exodus chapter 20. The principle we want to look at today is purity. So we've talked about the principle of priority. Today I want to talk about the principle of purity. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. And God spoke all of these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Now before we read any further, remember, that was the foundational scripture. All of these commandments, all of these principles that we're about to read and process, all of them are based on that one fact, that it's all about relationship. Don't forget, I'm not just giving you a list of arbitrary do's and don'ts. All of these things that I'm providing for you now have their rooting and their grounding in the idea that God himself wants relationship with me. Verse 2 again, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Verse 3, this is what we looked at last week. For you shall have no other gods before me, no other gods besides me, no other gods in front of me, no other gods, period. Now, verse 4. 5 and 6. This is our focus today. You shall not make for yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens above. Image, that's going to be a key word for us today. An image of anything in the heavens above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. Some versions say this, you shall not serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. visiting the iniquities of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. Now hang on, we're going to get through it. Getting a little heavy already, isn't it? Hang on, we'll get through it. Verse 6, but showing loving devotion, in some versions say this, showing mercy to 1,000 generations of those who love me and who keep my commandments. Exodus chapter 20 is not the only place in Scripture where we see these 10 commandments written. We also see them in Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18, concerning this particular commandment, it kind of gives us a little bit more insight. I want us to look at Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 through 11, and then we're going to read a couple of more verses. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9. When you enter the land, now keep in mind, he's speaking to the people of Israel. They've been released from Egyptian slavery, Egyptian captivity after generations. They're now going into a land, what we call the promised land. This land, it wasn't just vacant. There were already people living there. There were pagan people. There were people who worshipped all kinds of foreign gods. And God had told them, when you go there, I will give you victory. Everywhere you put your foot, I'll make it yours. I'll provide all of the victory that you need to lay hold of and to claim this land that I promised to Abraham when I made a covenant with him. It's yours. Now just go in and claim it. But it wasn't like they were just going to walk in and everyone's like, well, you're here, I guess I'll leave. No, no, no. There were battles to be fought. There were victories to be won. There were people and ideas to be overcome so that God's people could occupy that land. All right? So this is where we pick up. Verse 9. When you enter into the land the Lord your God is going to give you, do not imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices his son or daughter in the fire. They actually did that. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices his son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or conjuring or interprets omens or practices sorcery, casts spells, consults with mediums, or familiar spirits, or inquires of the dead. Skip down to verse 14. Though the nations which you will dispossess listen to conjurers and diviners, the Lord your God has not permitted you to do so. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own brethren. You must listen to him. So here's the picture. All right, you've been released from Egypt. There's a land that is promised to you because God had made that covenant with Abraham. Now, as you're released into this promised land, you're going to encounter a hostile people. There'll be battles to be fought. There'll be traditions to be overcome. There'll be nations to be displaced. And the temptation for you, God is saying, the temptation for you is when you go into that land and you encounter these people and all of their pagan ways, all of these things that they're doing, the temptation for you is to adopt those as your own. Can you see now why it was important that he established priority number one? There are no other gods beside me. And so this commandment number two, it's almost an expansion of the first one. It's kind of like an explanation. Don't have any other gods beside me. Because when you go into that land, you're going to encounter all kinds of other gods, small g. You're going to encounter all kinds of other gods. Keep in mind, they are not to take priority over me. As a matter of fact, don't even be tempted to incorporate any of that kind of stuff into your life. He said it right. I have not permitted that. There's another version that says it this way. I've not appointed you, my people, I've not appointed you to that. Instead, I've appointed to raise up a prophet from among you, And we understand this is a precursor. This is a pre-promise of Jesus that would rise. I've appointed that there would be a prophet who would rise from among you. You listen to him. I haven't appointed you to do that. Instead, I've appointed you to do this. I'm not appointed for you. I don't even permit you to entertain that kind of stuff. Instead, what I have appointed for you is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So don't even mingle the two. It's not, well, you know, I can have a relationship with Jesus and still look at the horoscope. Uh-oh. God forbid there's any among us today that would get up every morning and read the horoscope and plan our day accordingly. Oh boy, I hit a brick wall. How many of you understand it isn't the alignment of the stars that determines your destiny? It's the one who created the stars. By the way, if you've ever read a horoscope, you know they're written so generically that they can apply to anyone. I have to confess. I'm just going to confess. Is that okay? Confession is good for the soul. Sometimes it's not so good for your reputation, but it's good for the soul. So I'll confess, there are times in the past, just out of curiosity, just for kicks and giggles, I would look at the horoscope and I would say, okay, well, I was born during this certain time, and so that makes me a Cancer. Another name, a moon child. And so let me see what it says about me. And I would read that and say, what the hell? That's me. That really has a good description of me. There must be something to this. And then just out of curiosity, I would read what it says about the Sagittarius. And I'd say, you know what, that's me too. And I'd read what it says about the Capricorn, and I'd say, that's me too. You know what that tells me? It's full of nonsense. And anybody can find, because it'll be things like this. You're a loving person. Well, who doesn't want to believe that about themselves? You're full of compassion. People like to be around you. Well, who? No, that's not me. I'm not full of compassion. And nobody, no one. See, it's nonsense. It's foolishness. But understand this. Those kinds of things, it's not just innocent fun. There's a demonic spirit behind that. And God's word is clear when it comes to that kind of stuff. Don't pollute yourself with that kind of nonsense. It's not innocent fun. It's not just, well, it's just a cute little thing. No, it's not that at all. You're dabbling. You're polluting yourself with things and with ideas and with practices that are divinely forbidden and satanically inspired. Oh, you're being overdramatic. No, I'm not. God's word is plain. Don't even dabble in that. I've not appointed you for that. Instead, I've appointed that you have a relationship with Jesus. I've not appointed you to engage and be tempted and to indulge and to pollute yourself with these pagan practices of the world. Instead, I've appointed that you have a relationship with Jesus. Stars that determine my future. It's the one who spoke the stars into existence. It's very clear. It's very clear from the scripture. I find it interesting that 7 out of the 10 commandments, 7 out of 10, begin this way: thou shalt not. In the King James, you shall not. Don't do this. Now, again, kind of going back to what we said a few moments ago, if we're not paying attention, and if we think that somehow we can just approach relationship with God on our own principles and based on our own way of doing things, the conclusion we might come to is, God doesn't want me to have any fun. Parents, think about this. You love your children. And you understand that in certain behaviors, there's danger built into those. Your children want to go play in the street. Well, you know that's not safe for them. you shall not go play in the street. Is it because you want to kill their fun? Is it because you want to keep them somehow and deprive them somehow from enjoying a good time? You shall not play with the stove. You will burn yourself. It's not safe. It's dangerous. Don't do that. You're just trying to keep me from having fun. See, now compound that, or try to put that kind of thinking. This is a heavenly Father who loves you supremely and wants nothing but relationship and good for you. And so when he says, don't do that, it's not because he's trying to keep us from enjoying the horoscope, some innocent fun. It's because he understands that built into that is an inherent danger that will pollute your relationship with him. It cannot be on your terms. It has to be on his. And so he's throwing out that caution right to start with. Don't do it. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. Let's look at Exodus 20, verse 4 again. Let's look at it really quick. You shall not make for yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens above, on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. See, he was speaking into a very specific context. The Canaanites at that time, the various nations that inhabited this land of Canaan, they were among the most prolific idol worshipers of their time. They had an idol and an image for everything. There was a god of fertility. There was a god of the rain. There was a god for blessing. You name it, there was a god for it. And so what they really believed, they believed that they could form an image, an idol, if you will. They believed that they could form an image based on their belief that this particular god existed in the heavens. And their belief was this: when we form this image, that God in the heaven, the God of rain, would come and he would place his spirit within that image. And then they would take that image, that idol, they would take it into the fields. And they would pray and they would worship this God, believing that that God of rain had inhabited that idol, and now they were bringing rain and blessing to their field. If there was an infertile couple, they would make an image after the God of fertility, and they would bring that image right into the bedroom, believing that that God of fertility had inhabited that image and would bless that particular effort. And so whatever it was, they believed that that was the case. An image. And then my mind went here. Well, where in the world would they get such crazy thinking? Well, they got it directly from Satan himself. Because you see, Satan, that old serpent, as he's called in Genesis, Satan was there when God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And Satan was there when God breathed his spirit into that which represented his very own image on the earth. And so now what he's doing is he's perverting. Satan is perverting what God had already done. See, God had already placed mankind on the earth after his image and had placed within mankind his own spirit. And then, fast forwarding, Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 says this: Jesus is the very image, there it is again, the very image of God. And we understand that Jesus was full of the Spirit without measure. And so what we're seeing here is a perversion. It is a twisting and a perversion of God's plan that mankind, full of the Spirit, represent his interests on the earth. That Jesus Christ, being the ultimate image of the invisible God, full of the Spirit, would redeem mankind. And so Satan takes that truth and he perverts it and he twists it and he turns it around. He says, you can take these images and you can fashion them a certain way, and those gods will come down and place their spirit within it. And that's God's plan. And God is stepping back and saying, no, that's not it at all. That's a perversion of my plan for you. I'm starting to understand a little bit now. It has to be God's way. Everything else is a perversion. Everything else is a twisting. It's not as it seems. It's not innocent. It is an intentional twisting and perversion of the plan of God. And so the word image, it's the same word we use for imagination. So now I think I'm coming to a conclusion about this. Anything that I imagine that is outside of God's provision for me has automatically become an idol. Hear that again. Anything that I can conjure up in my imagination, anything that I form an image of that thing that is outside of God's provision for me has become an idol. And so men, if you imagine a relationship with a woman other than your wife, that thing has become an idol to you. If you imagine a future for yourself in a career or a job that is outside of God's plan for your life, that thing has become an idol to you. And so you don't have to go to a palm reader or a psychic in order to enter into this kind of mixture. We can of our own create and conjure up in our mind an image of what we think our life needs to look like. But if it is outside of God's provision, you have polluted and distorted God's plan for relationship. Wow. And so the only safe place is to say, God, what do you have for me? I may have hopes and I may have dreams, but I'm going to submit every single one of those things to you. Bring them into alignment with your provision, lest I enter into idolatry. Hello. Wow. And so there is a principle for living in relationship with God. There is a stern warning that we not allow ourselves to conjure up images of anything that is contrary to God's plan. He hasn't appointed us to all of that. He's appointed us to relationship with Jesus. So, it's not innocent fun to call the psychic hotline. It's not innocent fun to go to a palm reader at the county fair. You are indulging directly in demonically inspired. Anybody ever wonder why they call them familiar spirits? It's interesting is, you know, I'll see these things. They even have TV shows for these frauds. Long Island Media. And so people will go and they'll submit themselves to this ridiculous woman. And she'll say, I'm sensing someone in your past, M, their name started. Well, who hasn't had someone in their past whose name started with an M? Come on. M. Mom? Yeah, Mom, that's it, Mom. And I'm sensing that your mom has passed to another realm. No, she's still alive. But did she move recently? That's it, that's what I'm talking about. You see how that flows? Oh, yeah. And the gullible, and those who are trying to find fulfillment outside of God's provision, they just eat this nonsense up. And it's not just innocent fun. It is demonically but then there's some times when they'll say something like, now that's spooky. How in the world did they know that? That's why they call it a familiar spirit. It's a demonic spirit that is familiar with you and your family and your generations. And those demonic spirits are communicating to these people and telling them things because they're familiar with you. And so they would say, oh, that must be God. No, it's not God at all. It's a familiar spirit. And Jesus is what you're appointed to, not this. Don't pollute yourself this way. Don't do it. You don't have relationship that way. You know, I've often wondered too. You know, years ago they had this psychic hotline. You guys remember that? What was her name? Miss Cleo. Yeah. That's it. Miss Cleo. Call Miss Cleo at the psychic hotline. Well, it wasn't too many years after they first started that the psychic hotline went bankrupt. I wonder if they saw that coming. Oh, you know, when I see this line in your hand, this is a line of longevity. No, it's just a line where I close my hand and my hand wrinkles up. This one here indicates that you'll have heartache. Well, who doesn't have heartache? What kind of foolishness is this? Anybody could do that. But when we entertain that, we're not just, oh, it's just innocent fun, Pastor. No, it's not. You're actually polluting yourself. You are corrupting and undermining the very relationship with God that He intends for you through Jesus. Because you're saying that I can find fulfillment, I can find answers for my life based on something other than what God has appointed for me. And the Word of God is very clear. I've not appointed you for that at all. Instead, I've appointed relationship with Jesus for you. So there's a clear, clear warning from God's Word. The second thing I want us to understand is that there are consequences to impurity. There are consequences to impurity. You see, when we indulge in these kinds of things, whether it's the horoscope or whether it's any kind of imagination that we conjure up for ourselves that is contrary to God's plan for our life, whenever we entertain that, whenever we do that, it is not without consequence. There will always be a consequence. So what are the consequences of entertaining impurity and polluting our relationship with God in these ways? Verse 5 of the Exodus passage says, you shall not bow down to them, and you shall not serve them. The consequence is you will be in servitude to that very thing. You think you're controlling it, it's controlling you. You think you can dabble around with demonic spirits and not get burned. My friend, you don't even recognize you're in shackles and don't even know it. Entertaining, you're polluting your life with things that are contrary to God's plan for you. And God says, I've not appointed that for you. I've not appointed that for you. As a matter of fact, He says, when you do that, oh man, this is where it gets tough. Hang with me, okay? He says, when you do that, I will visit the sin. I will visit the consequences of that kind of rebellion to the third and fourth generation. Now, I have to be honest. This has been one of the most misused and most abused passages of Scripture that I know of. There's a whole teaching out there that talks about generational curses. And listen, I understand there is some truth to that because the Scripture says it plainly right here. But the key word to understanding what happens is this. He says, I will visit. He doesn't say, I will inhabit. He says, I will visit the consequences of this kind of living to you, your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren. Well, it's plain to see how something like that could happen, especially when you're dealing with a people where multiple generations lived under one roof. That's the way it was in the Middle East at this time. They would have 3-4 generations living in one household. And so you get the patriarch who's a drunkard, and he shows up at every family function drunk out of his mind and cursing and swearing and beating people. It's easy to see how that will affect not only the children, but the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren. And so there will be visitations. There will be opportunities when God says, if you continue to indulge in this kind of rebellion, this is what you'll get. The Father can't indulge in this kind of pollution and it not affect His children and His grandchildren. Listen, some of us are dealing with that now. Where one generation after another has been visited with the consequences of this kind of rebellious living. And it seems like we just can't break ourselves out of it. Well, another important thing to recognize about this scripture, he says, this is what I have set aside. These visitations of the consequences of rebellion, this is what will happen to those who hate me. Oh, now, I'm feeling a little bit of sigh of relief already because I don't hate God. I might be confused at times, and I might be uncertain, and I'm not always perfect for sure, but I don't hate God. I've not set my mind to rebel against Him intentionally and on purpose. I don't hate Him. But God says for those who set their face like a stone, who just say, this is the way we're going to do it. I reject this God. He says, I will continue to visit your household generation after generation. You're not going to get away from it. Wow. I will visit. But here's the beautiful thing about that. When the son sees the rebellious behavior of the father in those visitations, when he sees it, he can contemplate and he can make a choice. I will continue with the rebellion and the sin of my fathers, or I will reject it. And when I reject it, I break that curse over my family. You don't need some Reverend Big Shot to come in and lay hands on you and anoint you with some special kind of oil and break a generation. You can do that. When those visitations come, and when you see that temptation from generations past that wants to keep trying to come back into your family, you can take a stand and say, as for me and my house. And so your daddy may have been a drunk, but you didn't inherit that from him. You might emulate that behavior, but it is not in your spiritual DNA. You don't have to live under that curse. Because the next verse says, but for those who love me and keep my commandments, I have appointed for them mercy. I love that. I have appointed for them. He says, I will show. Listen. This is awesome. I will show loving devotion. I will show mercy to 1,000 generations. It's not just my children and my grandchildren and my great. Now we're talking 1,000 generations. Ooh. And so when those visitations, when those reminders of the rebellion and the sin of our forefathers come to us, we contemplate. And we decide, I will continue to live and allow my family to live under this curse, or today I will run to God and His provision of Jesus Christ. And in doing so, that curse is broken off of my family. My children won't suffer because their grandfather was a drunk. In Jesus' name. You get it? But God all along is saying, look, this is a danger for you. You're going to be tempted. You're going to be tempted to incorporate this pollution into your life. And I don't want you to do that, because when you do, you undermine my relationship with you. Don't do it. So there are consequences to impurity, but don't lose sight. There is the blessing of purity. For those that love Him, who obey His commands, who live within that priority of relationship with God. For those folks, there's mercy. He said, I will show you mercy. That word show, I looked it up. It has several different ways we can translate it. Get this. This is awesome. I think you're going to like this. I know I did. The word show can also be translated this way. Accomplish. Or prepare. Ordain or determine. So here it is. God is going to accomplish mercy for you and your descendants if you'll just love him and keep his commandments. God is going to prepare mercy for you if you'll just love him and keep it. God is going to ordain mercy and loving kindness for you and your descendants if you'll love him and live according to these principles. God has already determined mercy and loving kindness for you as we love him and live according to his ways. And so, I see these 10 commandments, they're not bad at all. As a matter of fact, what they are, it is God's providing for me a set of principles for living in relationship with a holy God that will bless us and bless the generations that come after us. What an awesome God we serve. He understands that if we try to come to him in our own terms, it's not going to end well. And so he says, because I desire a relationship with you so desperately, I've got to draw some boundaries for you. Because if you get outside of those boundaries, you've entered into dangerous territory. And I can't enjoy fellowship with you outside of those boundaries. So here are those boundaries. Stay within these boundaries that I've given to you. Not because I don't want you to have fun and enjoy your life, but because I want you to find fullness of joy in me. Because I want you to enjoy abundant life. And it's found within these principles. I'm first. I'm only. And don't pollute your relationship with me by adopting all of these other things that are outside of my plan for your life. You're not going to find answers in a medium or in a palm reader or in the tarot card. You're not, and listen, we don't even have to go into the occult. You're not going to find God's wisdom by consulting with the ungodly. Hello. You're not going to find God's wisdom by seeking the counsel of the ungodly. Well, this is a career move. This doesn't have anything to do with my spiritual life. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me right now? Well, now, preacher, I'll come to you and I'll talk to the people in church if I have a spiritual decision. But this is a business decision. Okay, good luck. Good luck with that. You're going to need it. We're trying to conjure up imaginations of what we think our future ought to look like apart from God's provision in Christ. It's not going to end well, my friend. God, being full of wisdom, he's the only, we talked about this last Wednesday, God is full of wisdom. He's the only one qualified to guide my life. Don't even dabble in it. Don't even dabble. If you read the horoscope every morning, stop it. It's not innocent. Right here, you're mind your own business. I'm telling you, it's not going to end well. Start dabbling in these kinds of things that try to provide answers for you outside of the answers God has already given to you. You're polluting, you're corrupting your relationship with God through Christ. Either he is enough or he's not. If he's enough, knock it off with all of the things that you're seeking after to try to bring fulfillment to your life. Just stop it. It undermines your relationship with God. Amen? Well, that sounds way too simple. It actually is quite simple. Stop complicating it. Amen? By the way, I'm not angry. It might come across that way sometimes. I'm not angry. I want what God's best is for you. And you'll find that in Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. So we have a principle of priority. No other God. And we have a principle of purity. God, come on, join with me in this prayer. God, keep my relationship with you pure. Don't let me try to find answers for my life. Don't let me try to find fulfillment. Don't let me try to find and satisfy my desire for you by seeking after things that are outside of your plan for me. Lord, settle it in our minds today that you really are all that we need. That you really do hold all of the answers that we seek. That God, you alone are sufficient to guide our lives. God, settle it in our minds today that you've not appointed us to pollute ourselves with all of these things and all of these pursuits that we can imagine and conjure up. But Lord, you've intended and you've purposed for us to find fulfillment in our relationship with you through Jesus. Lord, settle it in our minds today that that is absolutely enough. As simple as it may seem, it's absolutely enough because it's what you have ordained. Lord, for those of us that have, either in times past or even this morning, for those of us that have gone to other places and to other things, whether it's something involving the occult or whether it's something that just isn't filled with your wisdom, Lord, any time for those of us that have consulted and sought answers in anything else other than in you, God, forgive us. Our intent is not to poison and undermine our relationship with you. Our intention isn't to bring corruption and danger into our lives. Lord, sometimes we're just so easily led astray. Lord, our hearts are prone to wander. Lord, forgive us. Cause us this morning to recognize that you really are sufficient. That you really do have all of the answers that we need in life. That it's you who has all of the wisdom necessary to guide us, to lead us. Lord, we turn to you today. Lord, for those whose families have seemed to have regular visitations of the sins of their fathers, Lord, today, we declare today that those visitations shall not take up residency. In Christ today, every ungodly visitation, we make a conscious choice and a decision today to reject the sins of our parents and our grandparents. We reject that in Jesus' name. And in doing so, we break that curse over our families. Drunkenness shall not have a stronghold. Addiction shall not have a stronghold. Those visitations of molestation, be done away with in Jesus' name. We embrace the provision of God in Christ today. And in doing so, we break that bondage that our families have lived under. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. My friends, there's freedom in Jesus. Hear that. There's freedom in Jesus. I'm well aware of the time, but I'm also well aware of a deep work that I believe the Spirit is doing here this morning. If you are here today and there's something that we've said that is ringing true, maybe you've been led to believe that your family has to live under that curse of your forefathers. I declare right now today in Jesus' name that the devil is a liar. And as you run to Christ and reject the sins of your forefathers, that curse will be broken over your family in Jesus' name. Is there anybody here today that says, yeah, preacher, what you're saying to me is ringing true. I want God to seal it in me. I want God to seal that in my heart today. Anybody just want to slip up a hand or even just come down here and let's pray about it together. Anybody say, yeah, preacher, that's me. God's speaking to me today. He's showing me clearly that He doesn't intend for me to receive the direction for my life in other stuff, but that I am the center and focus my attention on Him and Him alone. And when I do that, He's going to be all that I need. And the curse that has existed over my family will be broken in Jesus' name. Anybody just want to slip up a hand and testify to that today? Father, you see these hands that are raised. And so today, by a working of your Spirit, God, we're asking that you will seal that truth in our hearts today. That when we reject the sins of our forefathers and run to you with a whole heart of commitment, in that moment, in this moment, that curse is broken over our families. No more drunkenness in my family. No more drug addiction in my family. No more molestation in my family. No more rebellion and sin in my family. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hey, aren't you glad Jesus is enough today? I said, aren't you glad Jesus is enough? My friend, I have found he's not only enough, he's more than enough. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, look, I'm available if you want to come pray. I'd love the chance to pray with you. But on your way out the door, I want to pronounce a blessing over you. Is that all right? Father, in Jesus' name, as the shepherd of this flock and the pastor of this church, I bless these, your people, in Jesus' name. From their rising up until their lying down, may they walk in the provision of God in every way. May they lack for no good decision. May they lack for no provision. May everything that they seek and have need of, may they find its fulfillment in you. Lord, I bless them with opportunities to share their faith. For those of you that have been asking God for an opportunity, I bless you with an opportunity to share your faith. And I bless you with the boldness to speak out the good news of Christ. I bless you this week. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, God bless you. Isn't he awesome? Isn't he awesome? Let's brag on Jesus this week. Amen. Hey, greet each other and hug somebody's neck on your way out the door. God bless you.